ओ भगवते वासुदेवाय। हरे कृष्ण। रीडिंग श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 8, द डेमिगॉड्स रीगेन द हेवनली प्लैनेट्स, टेक्स्ट नंबर 3 through 6। श्री शुक उवाच इति उक्त्वा हरिम आनत्य ब्रह्माणं स्वभवं ततः विशेषसूतलं प्रीतो बलिर्मुक्तः सहासुरैः। श्री सुखदेव गोस्वामी कंटिन्यूड, आफ्टर स्पीकिंग इन दिस वे बलि महाराज ऑफर्ड हिज ओबेसेंसेस फर्स्ट टू सुप्रीम पर्सनालिटी ऑफ गॉड हेड हरि and then to Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva. Thus he was released from the bondage of the Nagapasa, the ropes of Varuna. And in full satisfaction, he entered the planet known as Sutala. Text 4, translation. Thus having delivered the proprietorship of the heavenly planets to Indra and having fulfilled the desire of Aditi, mother of the demigods, the Supreme Personality of Godhead ruled the affairs of the universe. Text 5. When Prahlad Maharaj heard how Bali Maharaj, his grandson and descendant, had been released from the bondage and had achieved the benediction of the Lord, he spoke as follows in a tone of greatly ecstatic devotion. Text 6. Translation. Prahlad Maharaj said, O Supreme Personality of Godhead, you are universally worshipped. Even Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva worship your lotus feet. Yet, although you are such a great personality, you have kindly promised to protect us, the demons. I think that such kindness has never been achieved even by Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, or the goddess of fortune, Lakshmi. What to speak of other demigods or common people? Purport. The word Durgapala is significant. The word Durga means that which does not go very easily. Generally, Durga refers to a fort which cannot very easily enter, which one cannot very easily enter. Another meaning of Durga is difficulty. Because the Supreme Personality of Godhead promised to protect Bali Maharaj and his associates from all dangers, he is addressed here as Durgapala, the Lord who gives protection from all miserable conditions. So with the blessings and permission of all Vaishnavas, today I would like to speak something on this subject, where one section in this Srimad Bhagavatam is almost concluding. And here it is explained how Bali Maharaj, with full satisfaction in his heart, he enters the Sutala planets. In the previous chapter, it was described how this planet is better than heavenly planets. So Bali Maharaj surrendered everything to the Lord, and in return, Krishna did give him back more than what he was expecting. See, this is Krishna's reciprocation. Krishna never fails in fulfilling the requirements of devotees, or never let the devotees suffer. In this particular verse, it is said that he was released from the Nagapasa and in full satisfaction he entered the planet known as Sutala. Not that Bali Maharaj was unhappy because he lost the heavenly planets. He was completely happy, whatever the Lord gave him. And when Prahlad Maharaj heard, he describes how the Lord is so merciful to the demons. He says, you have kindly promised to protect us, the demons. I think that such kindness has never been achieved even by Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, or Goddess of Fortune. What to speak of other demigods and common men? So the protection of the point here is raised is that how the Lord protects the devotee under all circumstances. So we'd like to discuss on this particular aspect of protection of the Lord. The Lord is called Achyuta because he never fails in his promise to protect the devotees. We chant this mantra in deity worship. Iti samsmritya samsmriti, what is that? Pratijnyatava Govinda name bhakta pranashyati. Iti samsmritya samsmriti pranan sandharayamam. That devotee always understands that Krishna is going to protect us from all different difficult situations. And because the devotee knows it, therefore he has no fear. He is fearless. And like Krishna says, Neha vikramana asasti pratyavana buddhyate salpam avasya dharmasya trayate mahato bhayat. That he protects devotees from all kind of fears. Mahato bhayat. Difficulties. All the greatest difficulties. And in Srimad Bhagavatam, like we know in Mahabharata, Krishna protected the Pandavas. So in Srimad Bhagavatam, there are so many examples, so many pastimes where Krishna actually protects his devotees. So we'll discuss a little bit on this different aspect. So today we'll be just discussing few things like how Krishna protects his devotees and why he protects. Two reasons we'll discuss. And then how he protects sadhakas or the spiritual practitioners. So one is the pure devotee categories, those who are pure devotees of the Lord, those who serve the mission of the Lord, and those who are directly coming to this planet to serve the mission of the Lord, the Nitya Siddhas, pure devotees, how he protects them. And secondly, the sadhakas, like many of us, or most of us, and how he protects them. So two things, basically. So first we'll discuss how Krishna protects his pure devotees. So one thing is that Krishna puts his pure devotees in extreme difficulties. And then he saves them. So in first sense he is saying that how my devotees never give me up even when they're in extreme difficulties. When the whole world rejects them, still they depend on me. Like Pandavas, they're rejected completely from the kingdom of Hastinapur. Just five of them and Draupadi, Kunti Maharani. But still, they depended on Krishna. They didn't reject because everybody rejected in frustration. They did not reject Krishna. They always accepted him, worshipped him. And thus, through their extreme surrender, Krishna also reciprocates and protects them in all circumstances. So here also we see the Bali Maharaj was put into extreme difficulties, but then he was protected. Krishna says, I am going to protect you from now onwards for all the time to come, personally. So this protective potency of the Lord is very much amazing and interesting, because we depend on so many different things in this world, but we never depend on Krishna. That is a conditioned nature. We try to depend on so many different things for happiness, for shelter, for protection, but we don't take the shelter of Krishna. Don't take shelter of Krishna in difficult, especially in difficult situations. People go to different things. Of course, I don't say that we should not attempt to protect by various means, but we should understand the real protection comes from Krishna. Like the Pandavas did fought the battle. It's not that they didn't fought the battle. They did fought the battle, but they knew all protection is coming from Krishna only. So the Mahabharata war was over. Like Bhagavad Gita is part of Mahabharata. So Gita gets over. So Mahabharata also over. And Srimad Bhagavatam, what happens after Mahabharata, that is described, begins like that. So Srimad Bhagavatam begins where Mahabharata ends, or Gita practically ends. And here it is explained how this Aswatthama He attacked and killed five children, five surviving children of Draupadi, lost five children in Pandava's dynasties. He killed them while they're sleeping. So it was very, very barbarous, very, very cruel act. Anyway, then Arjuna promises that he'll bring the head of Ashwatthama because Draupadi was lamenting after losing her children. So I'll just speak a little quickly about this particular aspect. So Arjuna chases him, then Ashwatthama releases Brahmastra, all of us know it, because he was helpless. Actually, Brahmastras are supposed to be used for protecting the Vaishnavas and Brahmanas and these communities of Varnashram, not for personal protection, selfish motive. So he used it in a misused it basically. But then Arjuna also threw another Brahmastra and withdrew both of them. And then Ashwatthama was bound up by Arjuna. He was brought to Draupadi. Draupadi said, "You release him because I don't want his mother to suffer the way I am suffering after losing my children." That is Draupadi's heart. She said, "Okay, you release him." Yudhishthira Maharaj also supported. Everybody supported except Bhim. Bhimsen was saying, "Kill him." Also Krishna. Krishna was saying, "Kill him," because he doesn't deserve to live because of his aggressive nature. Anyway, he was released. Then everything was settled. The Shraddha ceremony was performed for all the departed souls. And everybody was lamenting because it was a whole family. Dhritarashtra, Gandhari, Kunti, Draupadi. Everybody lost some of their kinsmen. So everybody was lamenting simultaneously. So Krishna took a hard time to explain to them not to worry, everything is okay. And when everything was established, Krishna performed through Yudhishthira Maharaj, he performed three Ashwamedha Yajnas for purification. And after that, when everything was settled, Krishna boarded a chariot to go back to Dwaraka. So Krishna was spending so much time in Hastinapur. In one sense, he himself was not the king, therefore he could have time perhaps, I don't know. Somebody else was ruling there, he put somebody else and he was roaming with Pandavas, happily protecting them. But when everything was settled, he decided to go back. So he took permission from various devotees, the Brahmanas worshipped him. And as he was leaving, suddenly he saw that Uttara is running towards him with a fury in her eyes. She was completely afraid, running for shelter. And Krishna could understand because he's the Supreme Lord, Paramatma, immediately understood that Uttara being attacked by Ashwatthama. Again, once again with Brahmastra. So Ashwatthama left that place. Of course, Arjuna, how he allowed him to go, he shaved his head and removed his crown, insulted him, because for a respected person, insult is worse than death. So simultaneously killed him or didn't kill him also. He protected the wards of Draupadi as well as Krishna and Bhimsen. So he was insulted and he was set free. But in frustration, he raised once more Brahmastra to kill the remaining Pandavas, the five brothers and the child in the womb of Uttara. So that was his cruel nature, Ashwatthama. So Krishna immediately understood. So we'll just describe how Krishna protects. So first thing is protection. How protects? So Parikshit Maharaj, who was in the womb of Uttara, is actually a pure devotee. And he was the last descendant of Pandavas. If he dies, then Kuru dynasty is over from that point onwards. But Krishna wants the pure devotees to continue their ruling in this world. Therefore, he is going to now protect Uttara's embryo. So it is explained. There's one nice verse. Uttara said, O Lord of Lords, Lord of the universe, you are the greatest of mystics. Please protect me, for there is no one else who can save me from the clutches of death in this world of duality. So although the five Pandavas are still there, in one sense we can see Uttara is approaching Krishna for protection. Arjun, Yudhishthir, Bhims and all, everybody is there. And they are all standing with their weapons because the attack was on them also. The attack was on Pandavas also. So they are all standing with weapons, but she is running to Krishna. So this is one nice thing, because ultimately we have to understand Krishna is going to protect. Even if the Pandavas protect, it is Krishna's protection. So if Krishna is directly present, she is running to him without any shame, and she is saying, if it is your desire, then let my body be vanquished, but please let the child survive. So that is the feeling of a mother. In one sense, it is explained that a devotee never acts for his own protection. Like Prahlad Maharaj was attacked so many times by Hiranyakashipu, but he never attempted to protect himself, in one sense. But when another devotee is attacked, and another person is attacked, we have to protect. Just like if we are friends, suppose we are friends and we are going in a local train, like book distributor with book bag, and another person is attacking your friend, either with sharp words or, you know, because unnecessarily they get angry sometimes, they start attack. So what we should do as a friend? Should we just sit and watch neutrally, or we should try to protect? Because if I don't protect my friend, that means I am with his enemy, isn't it? That means I am with his enemy. I am allowing him to be beaten up. Probably some anger was there from previous something. Acha ho gaya. Nothing. That is what. Then you are with the enemy. But we should actually try to protect. That is the mode of devotee. When he is attacked, he doesn't try to defend. But when his other devotee is attacked, he has to protect and defend. So Uttara is concerned about the child who is going to be next great pure devotee. And it is mother's duty to always protect the children. Of course, nowadays we hear that how people abort their children in the womb. It is very unfortunate. They don't understand. They cannot develop the sentiment of mother. Or they do it in a hasty way, then they later they realize they feel frustration and all these things, depression. But normally, this should never be done in a civilized society. So, here she is asking for protection of her child. And Prabhupada explains, Uttara is actually wife of Abhimanyu, who was killed in the battlefield. He was a great hero. Son of Arjun. But when he was killed, at his funeral, Uttara supposed to follow the path of husband, or take sati basically. But she did not choose to follow the path because the child was in the womb. So to protect the child, she stayed away from her husband in one sense. She didn't follow the path of Abhimanyu. So already she has sacrificed in that sense. And how can she now allow the child to die? So she was praying to Krishna, please protect. And she was not ashamed to ask for protection, because mother has the responsibility to protect the embryo. And Uttara's personality, she was a great lady. She was a great devotee. She was a daughter of a great king, the wife of a great hero like Abhimanyu, and later she is going to be mother of a great devotee like Parikshit Maharaj. So then Krishna understands the whole situation, and immediately he raises his Sudarshan Chakra to protect the Pandavas, the five brothers. So actually, in one sense, the war is over, but it is not yet over, because one surviving member is still fighting. Ashwatthama is still fighting the war. So in that sense, Krishna is not supposed to raise the weapon, because he promised like that. But here he didn't care. He just raised his weapon just to protect the Pandavas. And he did that also. And because Krishna as Paramatma lives in everybody's heart. So from within the womb, it is explained in Brahma Samhita, Andantarastha Paramanu Chayantarastham, that Krishna is everywhere. Andantarastham means he is within the embryo also. But he is in between the atoms, he is inside the atom, he is outside the atoms, he is everywhere. So, because he is there in the womb also, from within, he protected Abhimanyu by covering that embryo. He protected Parikshit Maharaj. Parikshit. So, how Krishna protects his devotees is inconceivable. Then Sukadeva Goswami says, please do not doubt this pastime. That one may think, how can he enter the womb and protect it? Things like that. Krishna's pastimes are inconceivable. We cannot imitate. we cannot lift the Govardhan mountain, for example. These are very, very difficult things. But for Krishna, it is very easy because he is the creator of the entire creation. So for him, it is not at all difficult. He is very, very peacefully protected. Parikshit Maharaj as well as the five Pandavas. So, therefore Kunti Maharani prays when the Brahmastra was counteracted, everybody was protected, then Kunti Maharani prays to Krishna. And the first verse he says, Namasya Purusham Tabhyam Tvadyam Iswaram Prakritaya Param Alaksham Sarvabhutanam Antarvahir Avasthitam. Antarvahir Avasthitam. He is outside as well as inside. From inside he protected Parikshit Maharaj. From outside he protected the Pandavas. So the pastime happened immediately. She just offering her prayers. And so this is the one example where Krishna goes to any extreme. He didn't care to break his promise but to protect his devotees. Now then question comes, why he protects? Why he broke his promise? So how he protected, we have seen one example. How he protected Parikshit Maharaj. Why he protects, Prabhupada says that the Lord understood the crooked act of Ashwatthama. Okay. This I have explained. So, the Lord is impartial in every respect, but still he inclined towards his devotees because there is a great necessity of this for everyone's well-being. So Prabhupada is explaining that so Krishna broke his promise and protected Pandavas, protected Parikshit Maharaj. So one may think that it is partial. He is acting partial, breaking his promise and partial to devotees. But Prabhupada is explaining why he is partial. Because if the devotees survive, then it is for the better of every living entity. So every living entity, including the demons, they are benefited if the devotees survive. So how can we say it is partial? It is not partial. It is for everybody's benefit. And Prabhupada says, therefore, he also wanted to protect Maharaj Parikshit, who was lying in the embryo. He did not like the idea that the world should be without the Pandavas, the ideal family of devotees. So Krishna did not like the idea that the world should be deprived of the Pandavas. There is a great need of Pandavas in this world. There is a great need of devotees in this world. So therefore, Krishna protects them for everyone's benefit. So this is one very nice reason Prabhupada is explaining, that why Krishna protects. So we can take many examples in this regard. Parikshit Maharaj, for example, himself, so he survived, so he saw Krishna right in the womb. Or because of her mother's, because of his mother's prayer, Krishna actually appeared to protect him. So this is the power of another devotee, mother. And because of her prayer, the child got darshan of Krishna right in the womb. Sometimes people say, Why do you preach to the young people? When they become old, they should practice Krishna consciousness. But here we see that they are getting preached right in the womb. Prahlad Maharaj was getting his lessons from Narada Muni when he was in the womb. Of course, later he says, Komarata Acharit Pragya, that at the age of 5 we should be. So he was a little lenient in that sense. At the age of 5 we should be taught about Krishna consciousness. But he himself was taught in the womb. Because after all, we are spirit soul. The body is the different phases. Why should we wait for the body's different phases to accept Krishna? Because our relationship with Krishna is eternal. Why delay? Why take time? As soon as possible. The moment we got the news, we should take it seriously. So it is not the different phases of body that we go through that we should wait for Krishna to come. But the moment we receive it by the mercy of devotees, we should immediately accept it. So Parikshit Maharaj, he had this interaction and later he met Sukadeva Goswami. Now Sukadeva Goswami is another person also who saw Krishna in the womb. He was hearing Krishna from within the womb because Krishna promised that he will give protection to him in this material world. Therefore, he took birth. So these are two great personalities who are in touch with Krishna right in the womb and they are meeting. So their meeting, you can imagine what kind of feelings they must have while discussing about Krishna. Because they know Krishna right from their very, very infancy stage. I don't know how many months maybe. So Parikshit Maharaj became a responsible king later. He protected the Vedic community, he protected the Brahmanas, he protected the Vaishnavas. And later, one son of Brahmana was not so educated. He was proud, impudent. He cursed Parikshit Maharaj to die within 7 days. You know this story, Sringi. Sringi is the one who cursed. So, His Grace Gaurang Prabhu was telling us in Brahmachari class one day that how there is a culture of respect that was taught in Vedic system. That the Pandavas are always grateful to the Lord and to their superiors to teach them how to cultivate this culture of respect even amidst in greatest difficulties. So Parikshit Maharaj, by his example, is showing, although he protected the Brahmanas throughout his life, he was giving protection to them all the time, he revived the Vedic culture within this world very, very perfectly. Yet, he was cursed by a Brahmana to die. Those who he protected, from their comrade somebody cursed him to die. So now, he was on the bank of the Ganges and so many sages came to see him because he was a great devotee after all. He did so much great services. So all the great sages, they gathered there. And while meeting them, Parikshit Maharaj is again showing his respect to them. He's not complaining to them, see, I protected you, but your men only cursed me. What is this? He didn't say like that. In fact, he was saying, I am a king, I am a kshatriya, and because I am being always in opulent positions, always surrounded by wealth and women, being a kshatriya, being a king, therefore the sages and the brahmanas, they don't come to us much. They don't take our association. So despite knowing the fact that I am a kshatriya, still all of you have come here when I need your presence. Therefore I am very grateful to you. I am very, very thankful to you. Please accept my obeisances. So by saying like that, he was offering his pranam, his obeisances. So instead of complaining, he is praising them and is offering his humble obeisances. So that is Parikshit Maharaj's greatness, the great devotee. So even though he is in the greatest calamity, he is not stepping back to offer his respect, offer his gratitude to great devotees. So because of this, you know, although he was in such a difficult situation, Sukadeva Goswami also appears here. And because he accepted that curse, because he was always thankful to the Lord and the devotees, therefore, he became the right recipient to hear Srimad Bhagavatam. Like our Abtalila Prabhu was telling me this, that how When a devotee is protected, then everybody is benefited. How? Because Krishna protected Parikshit Maharaj, therefore Sukadev Goswami spoke Srimad Bhagavatam. Because Srimad Bhagavatam was spoken, therefore everybody in this world can be benefited out of it. Isn't it? It is so straight. So when devotee is protected, then everybody is protected. So therefore, all the Parikshit Maharaj in his personal life suffered because of mistake of this worldly people. Still, because he is a pure devotee, through him everybody is benefited. So there are so many examples. Like we can take example, recently we went to Dehu. Gaurupal Prabhu took me kindly. His father's anniversary, death anniversary was there, so he had a program. All of us went there. Nice kirtan, everything was nice. And there we are seeing the place where Tukaram Maharaj lived. Somebody told me that he lived around 400 or 500 years back. A contemporary of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu only, right? He was here 500 years back. So if we look at his own life, he was always criticized, he was ridiculed, he was deprived of all his properties, he was insulted. So many things happened to him. But he never mind those things, because for him, Krishna consciousness is the most important thing. Therefore, he used to chant Krishna's name, sing glories of Krishna, think of Krishna, speak about Krishna all the time. And one may think, like people think normally, devotees are lazy in this world. That is the accusation people give sometimes. But we went one, they have made one temple now in memory of Tukaram Maharaj. And on the walls, you can see, they have written those, inscribed those avangas that he wrote. And there are so many of those avangas, very original, pure, and so poetic, such meaningful. In small few lines, he has put so much of knowledge in those lines. And they are all over the walls, many, many walls. I couldn't even look beyond the walls. Everywhere I saw, I saw some avangas, everywhere. So if you're a lazy person, how could you write all those things? You know, if we try to write probably one or two stanza, then our lifetime will go away. It's very difficult to write original things. That too, with such accuracy, such perfect knowledge, it's not possible for any ordinary person. So can you say, he's not lazy? He's working hard. Like we went to a mountain, it's called Bhandara Mountain, where he would come up and sit on a stone and see the nature and appreciate Krishna for his creation. And Gaurupal Prabhu was singing a very nice avanga, how he was appreciating the nature and Krishna's creation. And in that avanga he says, how I don't need to eat anything. He's saying like that while sitting on this mountain. He says, Krishna Katha is my food. Like we say, food for life is, food for body is like some grains and vegetables. But food for soul is Krishna Katha. Of course, Krishna Prasadam is also food for soul. But he was saying, Krishna Katha is my food. I just can't think of Krishna, speak about Krishna, speak with nature, speak to myself. And that is my food. And I'm happy that way. That was a great saint. Of course, we cannot, like Gaurupal Prabhu was saying, we cannot go to a secluded place and talk to our mind. Because our mind will give so many bad, whatever bad experiences we have, it will all come out. We should not talk to our mind, we should talk to Shastra. We'll set to hear Shastra, not hear mind. Or hear the instruction of pure devotees. That should be our practice. So, Tukaram Maharaj, although he suffered a lot, but through his life, he gave so much to this world that we saw even today, so many thousands of people are inspired after 500 years of his departure. He left 500 years back, still today, people are inspired to take to Krishna consciousness. Now there is a big gate in front of Dehu. While entering Dehu, you'll see a huge gate welcoming the pilgrims to Dehu. Now when he was there, the same people were decrying him, insulting him. Now, see, the devotee's work is so great. Now there are big gates have come up, the roads are going to the mountain, thousands of people are coming and getting inspired. So a devotee Nobody understands when he survives. Very few understands him and takes the process seriously. Very few. Like for example, in the life of Jesus Christ also, he was rejected, he was ridiculed, and finally he was crucified. But because he never gave up Krishna, never gave up Krishna's service, therefore, even today he continues to inspire thousands, millions of people across the globe. So, this is the contribution of devotees. You know, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's associate, Haridas Thakur also, he was ridiculed so many times. He was threatened, he was attempted to be, you know, killed, murdered. But still, he continued his preaching. Now, today, because of Haridas Thakur, so many people are chanting Hare Krishna. He's the preacher of Harinam. So, this world is like this. They never recognize pure devotees' work and appreciation. So, pure devotees many times are criticized and ridiculed in this world. Even today, we see so many examples. So many people just unnecessarily ridicule, criticize, and try to bring down pure devotees. But who can stop them? While living, they contribute, and when they live also, they continue. The Prabhupada said, I continue to live through my books. So you can understand, Prabhupada, he just preached for 10 years. But how he is inspiring so many people throughout the world, throughout the globe. And he will continue to do so for thousands of years to come. So in this way we can see that Krishna protects his devotees, and through his devotees he protects everyone else. Or he allows his mercy to flow through his devotees to people like us, conditioned souls. So it's time is over, we'll just stop here. Thank you for your kind attention. Any questions or any comments? Any comments, Anandu? Any correction? Hare Krishna, thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.